I love what the Lord has been doing in my heart already. I know we just began, but He doesn't waste any time. And it's been really good, but a few things have been kind of hard for me because of what He wants to do and how He wants to just kind of dig in there and refine and all that. He's constantly refining me. I don't know about you, but it just doesn't stop. It's good, but So we've learned that, or we saw last week how Paul first met the Philippians, what happened there and how the church was birthed. And then we also learned that Paul wrote this letter to them 10 or so years later, and he wrote it from a prison cell. Now, if you were in a prison, in the conditions that Paul was in, and you were in there, you were innocent, you were unjustly accused, but you were locked up, what kind of a letter would you write to your family and your friends? Maybe it would sound something like, "Dear loved ones, I'm all alone. I don't have any friends. There's nobody around me. And yet I have no privacy because they're all watching me, all the guards. I have no comforts of home. I can't sleep." You know, what kind of a letter would you write? How would you begin that letter? I asked myself that question, and then the Lord did some refining in me through that. What kind of a letter would I write? Would I start off writing about me? Woe is me, poor me. Or would I do what Paul did? He immediately talked about the Lord, and then he looked and talked about others and gave thanks for them. And we can learn from Paul all through this letter and have the Lord do some refining in each one of our lives. You know, he does mention his chains, but he only mentions it briefly, and it's in a positive sense of, oh, because of this, look what the Lord is doing. And again, not the oh, woe is me. So let's read the first 11 verses. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it was right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, as we begin to dig into this book and how it's broken up each week in your homework lessons, and we take a little bit of each, you know, a handful of verses each week to go through it, there's a couple of different ways when we study a book of the Bible or when we teach a book of the Bible that we can study it or teach it. And one of them is that expositionally, which means that you just go from verse to verse to verse to verse, much like what Damien does on Sunday nights, where we are going from Genesis to Revelation every single verse. And he reads it and explains it, reads it and explains it, and that kind of thing. And your homework, that does that. where you're going through every single verse. And then there's other ways, where one of them is a textually way to do it, where you're in the text. Our text is verses 1 through 11. And then you grab the main point or what the Lord wants to make the emphasis of. That's more how we will be going through this book. So if I'm skipping verses, that's why I'm skipping them. And your homework will cover that. And then it'll just make you dig in more to say, hey, I wanted to know about that verse and didn't hear it tonight. Then you can dig in yourself or talk about it in your groups. But I will briefly kind of go over because I can't not do that. Paul mentions Timothy. Timothy is not a co-author of the letter, but he mentions Timothy because Timothy had the same heart Paul had for the Philippian believers. He loved them, and we will learn more about Timothy in chapter 2. Paul calls himself and Timothy a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and that is that I am a slave by choice. I have chosen to lay down my rights, my will, my everything for Jesus and giving myself to him willingly, and then therefore I am a bond servant or a bond slave. And that's what we have done when we've come to the Lord, where we said, forget about me. I do not want to rule my life anymore. And I lay my life down, and now we are his bond slaves. Paul writes to the saints. He calls those Christians saints, and it's not just somebody who did great things and then died, and they made him a saint afterward. We're all saints, and it just simply means somebody who is set apart for God's purposes. And our lives are set apart. We're his, and he makes us saints. He makes us holy. He separates us from the world, and then so that we can be dedicated to him. He greets them in verse 2 with grace and peace. What a wonderful way to greet people, to say grace and peace to you. Grace, may God's favor. You don't deserve that, but he's so good. May his favor, his unmerited favor, be upon your life and his peace. May it rule and reign in your heart and your life. There's no peace anywhere else. But he just says, grace and peace to you. And then Paul goes on and tells them how thankful he is to the Lord for them. Paul was a very thankful man. All of his letters, there's always joy and there's always thanksgiving in that. He knew what he had been delivered from and delivered out of. He knew what the Lord had done for him. And he was a thankful man, and he expressed that. Thankful to the Lord for his salvation. Thankful for the call on his life and what God had allowed Paul to do in preaching the gospel. He's thankful in every circumstance. He knew how to abound, and he knew how to be abased. In every circumstance, he learned to be thankful. And he was thankful for that because he knew that God worked it together for good. Always, always together for good. And he was thankful for others who loved Jesus. When he would travel from town to town, when you run into those Christians, he was thankful for them. Thankful for the Philippians for their fellowship right from the beginning. And while he was in prison in Philippi, and then the jailer got saved, and his family got saved, and just the church was birthed, right from the beginning, they had that fellowship with one another, and he was truly thankful for that. Thankfulness needs to characterize our lives. And I don't know about you, but I need to learn in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And that's one thing that the Lord is already working in my heart. Just be thankful. Just be thankful. Look at it as something that I am doing, that I am working in, and be thankful for that. I don't know the end. I can't see the end. But I know the Lord, and I know that He works everything together for good, so I can be thankful in no matter what circumstance it might be. And he thanked the Lord for their fellowship. And there is nothing like fellowship with God's people. Nothing can replace that. You know, we've all been with families that are unsaved, or in the workplace with people that are unsaved, friends that we maybe have had for years that are unsaved. And we can be around them, and we can have a party, and we can go shopping, or we can do those things, just socialize. But there is something big that is missing, and that is, of course, Jesus and the fellowship that he gives believers. But I can go anywhere in the world and not know them, these people. I have no history with these people. I don't know them at all. And I can immediately have fellowship with them. I can say to somebody, would you pray for me? Or how can I pray for you? Or what's the Lord doing in your life? Or share what he's doing in my life. And something happens. It's that Greek word is koinonia for fellowship. It's that oneness. It's that communion. You're communing with someone, and it's because of the Lord. And there's nothing that can take the place of fellowship. And we really need to do more of it. And I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, but I need more fellowship now than ever. I need to be around God's people to learn from them, and then to be sharpened by them, and then to be encouraged by them too. And I like the fact that Paul doesn't necessarily thank the Philippians, but he thanks the Lord for the Philippians. And then what I really like about that is that he told them, I thank God for you and for your fellowship. And I think that's important. And I think that we need to do more of that. We get so busy, and so our lives are so full and so about us, that too many times we forget to communicate what we're thinking. It's not that we don't think it. It's not that we're not thankful for people or that kind of a thing. We are. We just don't put it into words. We just don't show it. And, you know, in this world that we live in, most people, they're constantly being torn down. You know, in the world, and sometimes even in your own home, you can be torn down by words that people say, by actions, by attitudes, and things like that. And we need to be encouraged. We need to be built up. And we can do that. And Paul's doing that. He's writing to them with all this love flowing out of his heart. And he's telling them, I thank God for you, for your fellowship. And we need to do that and not wait until a memorial service to stand up when the person isn't there to hear. You know, do it now. I don't know if it's just my family, maybe your family does this too, but once in a while, my mother is great at this. Once in a while, we'll just sit around. Okay, well, let's go around the room and let's say one nice thing about each person in the family. Usually the men get up and they don't want to play that game. But we do that. We do it all the time. We tell each other what we like about them or what quality, you know, what we're thankful for, that kind of a thing. And it's been good to grow up that way and then to continue to do that. And it gets pretty silly and everything. But we need to do that. Verbalize it more. So perhaps the next time you write a letter, you can do that or make a phone call or a text or something. Paul also said that he prayed for them, and he was a praying man all through his letters. He says, I pray for you, I pray for you, I pray for you, I pray for you. And so many of his wonderful prayers are written in these letters that he wrote, these books that he wrote that we use in our own prayer time. and using those words that he prayed for others, we do too. But he was a praying man. And every time he thought of the Philippians while he was in prayer, and the Lord does that, he brings people to our remembrance. And we need to stop and say, okay, I thought of this person for some reason. Lord, do you want me to pray for them? Do you want me to call them? Do you want me to write them a note? What do you want me to do? And we need to do that more. And I'm telling myself that because my mind can be so busy so many times and I'm thinking of so many things that I think of somebody and then I, oh, yeah, and then I don't do it and then I go off. But to stop and acknowledge, okay, why would I think of this person? I haven't talked to them in so long, or I don't even know them, or, you know, that kind of a thing. But he told them that when I am in prayer and you come to mind, I pray for you. I pray for you. And he says in verse 4 that he makes his requests with all joy because he's thankful for them. Do you think they were perfect? I highly doubt the Philippians were perfect. And I highly doubt that when Paul was there, that everybody just treated him so nicely and said all these nice things to him all the time. I bet some people were mean to him, even within the church. And I bet one time they walked by him and didn't say hi. And maybe even twice. Maybe he told somebody that they needed to smile. And then they didn't like it. You know, it's not that, he's not thankful because they're perfect. He's not thankful because they're just these wonderful, perfect people. People are people. We all battle with our flesh. But he does pray for them with joy. He intercedes for them. And that intercession is so needed and so wonderful that we can do for other people. And it's just simply asking God for something for somebody other than me. Just putting others first and asking a petition for another person. That's what he's doing. In verses 9 through 11, he tells us what he prays. And I want to read it out of the Phillips translation. He says, my prayer for you is that you may have still more love, a love that is full of knowledge and every wise insight. I want you to be able to always recognize the highest and the best and to live sincere and blameless lives until the day of Christ. I want to see your lives full of true goodness produced by the power that Jesus Christ gives you to the glory and praise of God. And it's nice that he told them what he's praying for them. And he may not pray this all the time, but while he was writing this letter, that was the prayer that he had been praying for them. And so he told them, and that's something that's nice for us to do too. When we tell people, oh, I was praying for you, maybe we can tell them a little bit what we were praying for. It's just nice. When people do that, oh, it's like, wow, you do that? You prayed that? Wow. Well, no wonder why the Lord did this and that. And all, you know, just wonderful. It is a joy to pray for other people. It truly is the best gift that we can give them. You know, we like to give little gifts and things, and that's nice. But no matter what is given, it doesn't last forever. But when we pray for people, nobody takes that away. That is a gift the Lord answers those prayers. It's an eternal gift that we can give to each other. And God uses our prayers for other people to work in their lives. We may not see it. They may not know if we don't tell them, but he works and he uses our prayers. And then sometimes we just get to reap the blessings of watching how he answered, or we overhear something and I prayed for that. It's fun. It is fun to pray for other people. Sometimes I feel sneaky. You know, they ask me to pray, you know, somebody will say, would you pray this? And I'll say, okay. And, you know, you pray that for a few days and everything. And then sometimes the Lord just turns your heart and you start praying something else for them. It's fun. It's like, oh, I'm being sneaky here. They don't even know this. They didn't even. And then you just watch how the Lord gets to bless them. I don't know. I think it's fun. I had that last week. It was just, I did a really sneaky prayer, and it was, I'm, you know, I wanted to tell him, but I knew at that time I shouldn't, because I just want to wait and see what happens. It was fun. You know, prayer can be it can be a battle, but it can also be a lot of fun. And Paul did it with joy when he prayed. And then in verse 6, Paul, in just one sentence, gives the greatest bit of encouragement to and promise to those Philippian believers. Being confident, he tells them, of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident. I like that word because it, you know, it's strong. It just makes you feel like, okay, if the Apostle Paul is confident, and so here they get this letter from him that he's saying, I am confident that this work that the Lord has begun, and it's a good work, that he will complete it. And here he is in prison, but he knows the fruit of their ministry. As they have, remember, they have given him this gift of money to help him. And he sees the fruit out of their life. And he knows the Lord is working in them. And that word confident, it means, in the Greek, it means that he thought about it for a while. And it was settled within him. And it was a firm and settled conviction. Confidence in knowing that God will continue and complete that work. God always, always finishes what he begins. Always. No matter how big the project is, he finishes it. And the Lord has given us that same promise right there, Philippians 1:6. And aren't you glad? And how many times have you clung to that verse? When you don't see the fruit in your own life. And so many times we just don't. We don't see how he's working in our lives. We don't understand the circumstances that we're in, or how can he work good in this? I don't see any good. I'm not feeling any good. So many times we continue to battle our flesh in the same old areas, the same ones. I mean, we have victory in some, and then others, it's like, why can't I just move on? Why can't I get this under control? Why is this still a part of my life? And we get discouraged. And then we turn to Philippians 1:6, and he speaks to us that he's begun a good work and he will complete it. He finishes every work he begins. And he is using every circumstance in our life for our good. And we know Romans 8:28 and 29, but I'm going to read it just so it's fresh in our hearts tonight. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. It's the good work. It's a good work that he's doing in each and every one of us. He has given us salvation. You think about your story. You know Paul's, where he was on that road to Damascus. He was killing Christians. And God met with him there, and Jesus spoke to him and gave him salvation. Each of us has a story like that. He has delivered us from our past and our lifestyle. Tells us in Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You can go to bed tonight with that verse. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and he's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Doesn't that just do you good? I mean, you can curl up and go to bed with that verse tonight and take such comfort and encouragement over that. That what he's done in your life tonight. And he has made us a new creation for his purposes. Remember, all the old is passed away. All things become new. And it tells us in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship, his new creation. We're not done yet. He's still working in our lives. And he's changing our lives to make us more like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled faces behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. He is transforming our lives. Do you know that? That this good work that he's begun in your life, he's working in your life, is to transform you, to conform you to the image of his Son, to make you more like Jesus. He is working. Maybe you don't see it. Or maybe you're just in a little rut. But he wants to encourage us tonight. He is working. He is working. Now, he doesn't force his work on unwilling vessels. So we have to keep our lives surrendered every day to him, to his will, to his purposes. So when we are willing, whether you see it or not, he is working. And he's using every single circumstance. Everything. It is amazing. I mean, he's God, so he can do that. He can take every conversation, every word, everything that happens, and he just works it all together for good in our lives. That's the work. And the good, of course, is Christ-likeness. And you can have the same confidence, that same firm and settled conviction that God is working in you and that he will complete it, just as Paul did, as he wrote to the Philippians. Each one of us can have that confidence and to stand in it and say, okay, Lord, it's a new day. And you just work in my life. And then the next day, it's a new day. Just work in my life. And then that afternoon, it's a new afternoon. Work in my life. And then help me to see you work. He will finish the project. Now, it won't be finished until we are face to face with the Lord. We want to be complete now and finished now. We'd like to be perfect now and not have to worry about all these things and battle this ugly flesh. But it's a day by day by day process and him working in us. But he will complete it. So be encouraged tonight if you have been discouraged in that. If you've looked and you've said, I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I don't see the good work. Be willing, surrender, and he will work and you will see it. So as we look at these 11 verses, Paul was a thankful man. And I pray the Lord would stir up that thankfulness within each one of us, myself included. Thankful for all that we have in Jesus. And then thankful for one another, thankful for the body of Christ. I thank my God for you, for this church, for what the Lord has done. It's amazing. It's a miracle. And that he would bring people, and that you would want to serve and you'd want to get involved and you'd want to sit and listen and you'd want to worship and you'd want to encourage other people and minister to other people. Thankful, 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 thankful. What a life we get to live. We get to be around God's people and around his family. It's just wonderful. Fellowship is wonderful. And then that he would stir our hearts and encourage us in prayer and intercession for others, to put others first in our prayer and to be sneaky and have fun in your prayer life in praying for others. And then send them that little note and let them know. So the next time he does bring someone to your remembrance, to my remembrance, let's listen to him and let's write that letter, that note, that email, that text, that phone call, however, face to face, and be an encourager as Paul was, and tell people we're thankful to the Lord for them and what he has done in their lives and how we see him in that person. And let them know that you pray for them and just be an encourager like Paul. And Father, I pray that you would work these things, Lord, in each one of our lives. I pray that you would teach us. Lord, as we've read the book during the week, we've read these verses, and so many have dug in and done their homework. And Lord, you are faithful to speak. And I know that you have to each one thing, two things, three things, and you're working. And I thank you for that, Lord. We all thank you for that. You're working in our lives and in others' lives. And I thank you that we can study your word and we can be a part of this on Wednesday nights and to watch you work. And I pray, Lord, that you would go before each one of us, Lord, and use the time that these women have in their groups, that it would be good fellowship, that they would be encouragers, and they would share that good work that you are doing. Father, open our eyes so that we see that work in our own lives, and help us to stand in confidence, knowing that you do work every circumstance, everything together for good. And we look forward to what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives, and how we're going to look a little bit more like you as we study this book. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And if you don't